It's time for the Apple Watchcast. Apple WatchOS 10 rumored to have a new user interface, Apple Card savings account now available, an easier way to join the beta OS program, lots of great things expected for WWDC in June, and an original $40,000 sealed iPhone gets opened. Plus reviews of Rolling Square Edge Pro, Moft Snap-on Stand and Wallet, and Geo Wallet with Find My. This and much, much more. It's all coming up next on the Apple Watchcast. This is the Apple Watchcast, episode 439, recorded Saturday, April 22nd, 2023. The FOMO update.
It's time for the Apple Watchcast. Apple Watchcast, a podcast dedicated to the Apple Watch.
It's time for the Apple Watchcast, where we talk about any and everything Apple Watch, Apple's most personal and healthy device yet, and the number one watch in the world. I'm your host, Tom, and joining me is Vincent. Welcome to the show, Vincent.
Happy Earth Day.
Happy Earth Day. Yes, we timed that just right, didn't we? And of course, also joining us is Chris. Welcome to the show, Chris.
Thank you, Tom and Vincent. Yeah, it is Earth Day, and it's a beautiful day here. So it's a great day to be Earth Day.
Now, I mowed the lawn yesterday. Is that good or bad? Is that not good for Earth Day? I don't know. there is an activity challenge for today. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That we didn't get a chance, I guess, to mention last show. I know I did complete it. I know, Chris, you did. You plan on doing that, Vincent?
I plan on it.
Okay. As long as you plan on it.
Here's your reminder. Let me give you a reminder right now.
Okay. So if just for people who know, and by the time you listen to this episode, it's going to be too late, but it's a 30-minute workout. Within the workout app. Mm-hmm. And I think they do this every year. I looked on my stickers and there's like a year where they had something else. It was like International Eco something day or whatever. It was different. I got a different award that year. Maybe they tried something different. But I think they do this most every year. Now, if you missed this one, which like I said, by the time you listen to this, you probably missed it. There is one more challenge this month. On April 29th, and that is for International Dance Day. Okay, so you record a dance workout of 20 minutes or more with the workout app. Mm-hmm. So, Vincent, if you missed this one, maybe you can get that one.
Yeah. I think it negative points for the way I dance.
So. it rolls backwards.
It's like,
me too.
Nice try, yeah, buddy.
Your rings go backwards. That's funny.
They do. They take away exercise. I'm the same way, Vincent. I think that I'll probably fire up a dance and then I'll go run and see if it.
Are you dancing or are you running?
Exactly.
I can't tell.
Yes.
Hey, I looked as well, Tom.
Yeah.
I looked at the Earth Day. It looks like 2020 was right when COVID was like, oh, COVID, right in the height of the craziness. And I think they skipped it that year. That's the only one I missed. Everything else I have every other year.
Oh, so you did get the 2021, huh?
I did get a 20. I have Earth Day 2021, 4/22/21. Yes.
Okay. I'm looking at them here, and let me find the name of that one because it was so weird. It was a World Environment Day challenge.
But what day was that?
That was in June of 2020.
It's June 2020?
Yeah.
Oh, I got that. Yeah, 6/5/20, World Environment Day Challenge.
Yep.
Yeah, they wanted to get people outside, I guess, right? You earned this award by closing your stand ring. So,
Okay.
For being 6 feet apart for someone all day, I think that's what it was for.
Yeah. For 12 hours straight, right?
For 12 hours straight, yeah.
12 hours, okay. All right. So anyway, a couple of activity challenges, something to do this month. Well, we got a few things to talk about. Some are rumors, but they're pretty exciting here for what's coming up. First up, let's talk about this because this really hit the news this week. If you're following Apple Watch news, but apparently WatchOS 10, which we've talked about, which is supposed to be announced at the Worldwide Developers Conference on June 5th, That apparently this is going to be, and we mentioned this before a little bit, but now we're getting a little more info here, a really big software update. In fact, we are now hearing that it may feature a new home screen layout for the watch. So a change to the actual, the operating system itself, the user interface may change. And what we're hearing is it's going to be more iOS-like, including folders for your apps, which makes a lot of sense, actually.
I'm clapping.
Yeah. Do you, okay, I have a question. I think I've asked this before. Do you use the grid mode or the list mode to view your apps on your watch?
Well, list. List all day.
Same
list.
Here.
List.
Yeah.
I tried grid. It just sucks.
Yeah. Now, initially, that's all we had, right?
Yeah.
I don't think the list came out till later versions of the software. And it was interesting. It was fun. It was novel way to the honeycomb grid, you know, to kind of navigate. Mm-hmm. But the problem with it was if you didn't know what the icon for the app looked like, it was hard to find it.
Right. Yep.
Especially back then, there were so many apps coming out. I put so many on my watch at the time. It was very hard to navigate through. But if you do that, if you use that mode, folders are going to be awesome. Right, to really organize it, and maybe you can bring it down to just a manageable scroll through there. But there's all sorts of ways they could do this, so it could be pretty cool. In fact, this was on 9to5Mac, and I'll put a link in the show notes for this. They did a thing where someone did a concept of what this might look like. They didn't do folders on this that I can see, but they did incorporate widgets and live activities, very similar to the way iOS, your home screen, works now on your phone, into the watch. And pretty interesting. What do you think of this? There's some video work you put into this too.
This is cool.
Parker Ortolani, tech. I see him all the time on Twitter and stuff, posting things, but he did these mock-ups. This could work, I think.
I do too. That's the most frustrating thing. Whoever decided to do the grid view and have the thing kind of auto move around is the dumbest thing Apple's ever done.
You're speaking to Johnny Ive there now. Come on, that was Johnny.
It was dumb. It was dumb. It wasn't good. Because you try. I just want to make a freaking square with the ones I wanted on the top, and I was like, I give up. Go to list view.
Well, what was frustrating when there wasn't a list view, you had no option.
Oh yeah, I remember.
You had
that.
To keep the ones you used the most in the center, right? But this is interesting because the way he's laid this out, he's got a row of three. That is not a honeycomb grid. You just scroll up and down.
Correct.
To find them, which is actually a little easier to navigate.
It's more iPhone-ish, like you said, and the folders will be fantastic. If that, if you can put a folder there and then have maybe a complication that's folders, boom, I'm in, you know?
Well,
it's such a small screen. I have no idea how you would do folders.
Well, it would just be a different icon.
Yeah, just be an icon, and then you hit the icon.
You tap on
it'd be
it.
Like just an empty folder. You wouldn't have like four little tiny icons inside of it like the phone does.
Well, kind of, yeah. Yeah.
It might. If they can make it small. Yeah, I think they could do that. Because right now I think you can get easily three across, maybe four. Three seems optimal because it would be a little bigger than the ones they use today. Right. And then the folders. Yeah, I think they could do that, Vincent. If you had a folder, you could show the miniatures. They're on your phone that small.
I'm gonna put a solid maybe.
What I really like, though, I really like the widgets. Those are interesting.
The widgets are cool.
Yeah, but very nice.
I'm going to get disappointed here because it's probably not what they're going to do.
Yeah,
right. I think it's going to be a huge dynamic island.
Oh, the whole watch is a dynamic island.
Right up, there, it's like everything just pops up. It's a new revised version of Siri. they do.
This should be interesting. Now I'm really excited about WWDC this year.
Yeah, me too. It definitely puts a little more kick into it when you know you're going to get a re-engineered interface versus a tweaked interface, big time. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we we mentioned this before, that there's probably not going to be much hardware changes to a new watch this year, mm-hmm. you know, in September mm-hmm. when they announced the new watch. But this is their big thing, I think, for the watch is going to be this, the new OS. In fact, I think it was it Bloomberg had mentioned Mark Gurman. The way he mentioned it was he's calling it a major watchOS 10 update. He's saying it's the biggest update to Apple Watch software since the first version was introduced in 2015.
Mm-hmm.
That's saying a lot.
It is. It is.
That makes it quite a big deal. So we'll see.
It would be interesting how many generations back it would support, though.
True.
Yeah, you know, yeah, well, you know, point.
I think we're at the point now with the watch and all the versions that we lose one every year, like we do with the phone. Mm. We lost a lot with Series 3. This may not work with 4 and above. Who knows, right? How much mm-hmm. they're able to continue that. But
yeah.
Exciting stuff. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's going to be a good one.
Mm-hmm. Could be nice. let's see what else. Oh, this isn't rumor. This is something Apple's actually doing. They're making it easier to test macOS and watchOS betas. Do either of you participate in the beta program very much?
I don't typically do. Not on my main one, but like I went into software update the other day and I saw the option.
Oh, really?
So I don't know if I signed up for it.
Right.
I've never done it, Tom. I've never done any signs up or any downloads.
Yeah, I mean, I always say I'm not going to. And when they announce all the new features, I just can't wait.
Yeah.
And I end up doing it.
Mm.
And it is a bit of a pain to do. But I think they're making it much simpler now. Apparently, they've done this with iOS already. Mm-hmm. And I think maybe it's even tvOS. But the changes are now coming to macOS and watchOS. So you still need to be enrolled in the beta program. And by the way, I apologize. Mm-hmm. I'm losing my voice here.
You are.
I went for a run this morning. I knew this was going to happen. It was a little cooler than normal. My vocal cords are not warmed up. So. Anyway, sorry. But you still need to be enrolled in the beta software program. Mm-hmm. But the way it's downloaded and installed is much easier. So you go to the Apple beta software program site. You sign in with your Apple ID and you tap enroll your device. Okay. Previously, you had to download a profile for each iOS device and the macOS public beta access utility for Macs. Mm-hmm. The new process lets you easily choose whether you want to install the new beta or stick to the latest release. Same goes for the watchOS, which used to be even more convoluted because you had to do it on your phone first before installing on the watch.
Mm.
Now you just sign up for the program once, and you have the option to install the current public beta on any device that's signed into the same account. Yeah.
Oh, cool.
So on each device, you'll see a new tab for beta updates and they'll list the version of the beta you're running. And then you can either do the public beta, developer beta, or turn it off. That's the way it should have been from the beginning, I know, but they never were able to make it that way until now. So this, I think, begins early May when they do watchOS 9.5. And macOS 13.4, I think you'll be able to use this new system for it.
I see it in mine. I don't remember signing up, but okay. I guess
it's there. You didn't sign up?
It's there. I don't remember. No. I might
You
have.
May have in the past.
Yeah, you must have.
Yeah, yeah.
So very cool. So I think this is going to get a lot more people to use the betas because it's going to be much easier to do.
And even after you've upgraded to the beta, when the production release, the GA release comes out, you still have to update again, right?
That what now?
So what's if you use the public beta,
right?
But then when it becomes to general availability, the production version, right, you update again. Is that what it is?
You turn off the beta.
Oh, you turn off the beta and then you switch over to the one. Okay.
And then
okay.
The next time there's an update, you'll be on the real thing.
I see.
Yeah.
I see.
That's how it usually worked. See, it was always kind of confusing. This will make it easier, I think.
Okay.
So, yeah, good news for that, especially with some cool, exciting stuff. I mean, I guarantee you I'm going to sign up for the public beta on this one for the watch. Okay.
I think I'm going to wait. I just like waiting. I don't know why, you know? Although I have some friends that do it, and they text me like, hey, this is really cool. This is really cool. And I'm like, oh, I'm just going to wait. But I think it was because you had that experience. Was it 3 or 4 or 5 years ago, Tom? You had that experience. I can't remember your phone or your watch.
Yeah, that happens every now and then.
For a couple days or something?
It's not. They've been really good with it lately.
Okay.
Again, who knows? It can always have something. Mm-hmm. It's why it's a beta, right? That's the thing. You have to know what you're getting into, you know, when you do this. So you got to take the bad with the good.
It's a risk. Yeah.
Exactly. But yeah, you hear from other people, you see things from other people that are all a part of the new one, and you have that FOMO, right? Fear of missing out, right? So that's it's the FOMO update that you gotta worry about. Sign me up.
Just to let you know, I don't have FOMO, so I'm okay.
Okay. So even when I start sending new emojis and things you don't have, right? How'd you get that? Where'd that come from?
I'll be okay. Mm-hmm.
Okay. What else is going on here? So that's going to be cool. This is the other big story of the week. Is the long-awaited Apple Card savings account.
Mm-hmm.
It's now available, and the initial... APY, annual percentage. Is it annual percentage yield?
Yeah. I think so, yes. Right? APY.
Is that right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is 4.15%. I don't know about you, but my bank offers a percentage that is like 0.0.
Usually you're around 0.05 to 1 is like what you're going to get max.
Yeah. I mean, I can do an entire year and probably not even get a dollar on
pretty,
interest.
Pretty true.
And it's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. But so this, for Apple, the savings account has no fees, no minimum deposit, mm-hmm. and no minimum balance. And a great starting rate. Now, it's not the highest. You can get a little higher rate from other, I think most of them are online savings accounts.
Yeah.
But they all have different rules and regulations, right, to deal with. Now, the way Apple's doing this is a savings account from Goldman Sachs. It's in the Wallet app, and it's tied to your Apple Card. You must have an Apple Card to do this. And what they've really done here is they said, look, everybody's got all this Apple Cash, right? Your daily cash that you get from using the credit card that's just sitting there. So... you have the option of taking that money and putting it into the savings account, and it will earn that interest. And then from then on, any Apple Cash you get will go right into that savings. So that is a really, really great benefit.
Yeah.
Now you can also add money to it from the account that's tied to your Apple Card. So any other money you want to deposit through that linked bank account will also do that. It's very tempting.
I already did it. I
haven't done it yet.
I did it.
Did you really?
It took like 2 minutes. I did it. I was just like, I got the email. I clicked on it. I signed up. I'm like, okay, well, that was easy. I have to tell my wife now that I have a Goldman Sachs account. But yeah, so it's like, it was super simple. And then I clicked on, move all my cash in there, and it did. The interesting thing, though, is that some of the screenshots show a separate card for your savings account in your wallet, but it's actually hidden underneath your actual Apple Card. And then in there, like, you know, three rows down is the link to the savings. Because I was like, I pushed all my money over there, and I don't know where to find it. So I didn't know where to go. Was there a separate Goldman Sachs app? Was there a different savings app? Something that you had to install? But it's just underneath that card. It's underneath your Apple card.
Yeah, I did it as well. And it wouldn't work for me. It kept not crashing, but it kept telling me it couldn't be done. Yeah. Over and over and over.
Oh, interesting.
And I figured, oh, they're just busy. Right. It's the first day. Right. Then the next day, I open my Apple card and it says, your account's ready.
Oh, wow.
It's like, it did go through. Okay. So I either opened 10 accounts or I've got one. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I moved my Apple Cash to it. And now when I open my Apple credit, my Apple card, and I get my card balance and weekly activity, and right below that it says savings account.
That's it.
And you tap on that, and then it takes you to the balance. It shows you your little graph chart of how it's doing, what your now I have a question. The APY, which is 4.15%, is that going to change over time?
Probably. It's variable. So they said it's a variable account. Yeah.
Okay. Now, the way they're doing it, it is compounded daily and paid at the end of the month. Now, I should tell you that you can add money to this from your own account up to a maximum of $250,000.
No problem.
I better.
Well, you better take some out, Chris. You can't put that much in.
I got to worry about
it. Yeah. But they are fully insured by the FDIC up to that amount, just like any other bank account, right? And you can access the funds. You can transfer money to your Apple Cash balance, right? So take it out of savings, put it back into the Apple Cash, or to a linked external bank account. But that process can take 1 to 3 business days to complete. But there's no fees for withdrawals. So that's similar to how it sometimes takes a while for, you know, you deposit something in your bank account.
Sure,
it usually takes a day or two to clear. Same type of thing. So it's not available to you immediately, but this is so tempting for me to move more money into because the money I have sitting in my savings is doing nothing.
Yeah.
I don't even have a savings account. Mm.
You don't have any?
No, I just have checking accounts. That's it. And then, I think I don't have a savings account.
It's interesting because I remember growing up when you get a saving, you would open a savings account, your first account, right? But it was always like 5-something%, wasn't it?
I mean, back then it was. Yeah,
it was always pretty high from what we think of now.
Back in the day,
and it was always thought of as well. That doesn't earn a whole lot of money, you know. Yeah. You could do other things with your money to make more, but anyway, very interesting. Apple is becoming a financial services company, aren't they?
Yes, indeed.
That's it. Now, but it's through Goldman
Sachs.
Sachs. Now, you know Apple would love to do their own, right? Not have to have a partner. And by the way, this is only in the U.S., unfortunately, because if they go to another country, they got to work with another bank, you know, and regulations and everything else. In fact, I read recently, I didn't put it in the show notes, that they just released Tap to Pay in Taiwan. So it took them that long to get that feature in another country. So, unfortunately, this is just there now. But I can see the day in the future where Apple... Is it too weird to say that at some point you go to an Apple store and there's instead of a Genius Bar, there's your bank, the Apple Bank, right?
Yeah, an ATM card?
Someone at the counter and like a bank.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'll never say no.
Right.
It's certainly a possibility.
Yeah, could be if they keep doing this. And what's the other thing they were going to – I don't know if they rolled it out yet, the pay later thing.
Oh, you can subdivide, your payments.
Yeah. Yeah, they just worked that in too, I think. So they're doing a lot in this area. But
very cool.
Very cool. Very nice.
It is. I mean, that's a good thing.
Now, I don't know if Steve Jobs ever envisioned that.
No. That they'd
be a bank. I mean –
Yeah, That wasn't on the business plan.
I don't think so.
Well, it isn't, but still making money is. Yeah. So if you can make money, if you can make money from it, make money from it. But I can see where he might not spearhead this. But then again,
you know, that's the funny thing is, I think I read an article back a while back that Goldman Sachs and Apple haven't made any money off of this whole thing so far.
Well, they don't really charge any fees or anything, right? Yeah. So how could they make? They couldn't make much money on it. I think the way Apple makes money on it is you buy Apple products using the card, right?
Right, right.
That's where they make it. I don't know what they're paying Goldman Sachs to do this, but they're effectively Apple's bank at this point.
I guess it's just the end-to-end ecosystem. They have you in their ecosystem from end-to-end soup to nuts.
Yeah.
That's it.
Right.
Yeah.
But I do like the idea that they're doing something with the savings account that you don't see in other financial institutions, right? With the no fees and all that sort of stuff.
An interest rate and a good interest rate?
Right.
Now, Tom, can you open multiple accounts like for a child or something?
You can do it through a family account. So you can add people to your Apple card and you can give them the ability to do certain things with it, right? So they can build up good credit themselves, but they can only... They don't have complete access to everything, I don't think, if you don't want them to, right? But then you can also make someone like a co-owner of the account, right? Like your spouse. Yeah. So, so yeah, you could. You could.
Okay, great. Great, great.
I don't know about opening more than one savings account per card, though.
Right? Yeah, I don't think there is.
I don't think there is yet a way to do that.
Okay. Yeah,
maybe in the future. Speaking of Steve Jobs, they announced something new on the Steve Jobs Archive, which is a site that I think his wife and some of the people at Apple had opened up a while back. It's kind of a place to put stuff about Steve, and they've now created an ebook that's available as a free download, which is a kind of memorializing his life and career in his own words, right? So it's different emails that he wrote, speeches, and interviews with him. And some of this stuff has never been seen before, which is really interesting, some of it. But you can, it's an ebook. You can read it online on the site, or you can get it through Apple Books, I think, or you know, through your browser, or download it as an EPUB. Right, for Kindle and other devices. But have you looked at this thing yet? It's pretty cool.
Yeah, the website experience is really cool.
I downloaded the book.
Yeah. What do you think? Anything new there?
In terms of reading it? No, I was just kind of scrolled through it. I haven't had any chance to sit down. Oh, yeah. Okay. But just overall, the experience is pretty neat the way they put it together.
Yeah, I mean, there's things in here, including the transcripts of things like his when he presented the iPhone and stuff like that. Photos from his childhood, all sorts of things in here. It's pretty cool.
I'm finishing up a book probably today or tomorrow, and I'll probably jump into this one.
Yeah, some of it's just very inspiring, and especially when you look at it with perspective of now, was pretty incredible. Some of the stuff he was thinking back then, you know. Anyway, very inspirational. I'll put a link in the show notes for that.
Yeah, that's great.
It's very cool. All right, so we'll talk about WWDC here real quick, because this is, again, according to Mark Gurman from Bloomberg, is shaping up to be one of the biggest product launch events ever for Apple. Okay, so think about that for a second. That's saying a lot. Not only will we get the mixed reality headset, but it will have a ton of other products and stuff. So we're going to get the reality headset announcement. We're going to get a new XROS operating system and software development kit for it. We're going to get new MacBooks, iOS 17, iPadOS 17, macOS 14, and the major update to watchOS 10 that we already talked about. All of that at one conference, one keynote. Should be pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think have these been over an hour recently? Last couple of years, or they go about 90 minutes? I can't remember because I, as I read through this, I'm thinking this might be a 2 hour one where they used to go about an hour. They used to go about 120 minutes.
Yeah, they used to be really long when they did them live. Yeah. Well, because of, they have to stop for applause. They don't have to do that anymore when it's all pre-recorded. So they were down to a little over an hour probably. But this one could be two hours. This could be close to 2 hours.
Yeah, 2 hours with applause would be like 2 hours, 15, 20 minutes. That would have been a long one.
Yeah, it'd be very long. So as far as computers go, right now, Apple has a lot of things in the works. A 15-inch MacBook Air, an updated 13-inch MacBook Air, an entry-level 13-inch MacBook Pro, a refreshed 24-inch iMac, and the first Mac Pro, and updated versions of the high-end MacBook Pro models. All of these should happen this year at some point, including, they're saying, Mac Studio updates, but they're not sure when. As far as this event goes, probably going to be seeing the Airs, MacBook Airs, announced for sure. So that will be interesting too.
Wow.
Those are going to seem,
that's a lot.
Those are going to seem like an afterthought with all this other stuff going on, you know? Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. And by the way, here's some new laptops, right? So we'll have to see, but I'm getting excited about this one. This could be a really good event for Apple.
I wonder how the PCs or the Macs will actually work with the Reality headset. I mean, everyone's assuming that this is standalone, right? It's not something that you would plug into your Mac, or at least have a different experience if you did. So it would be interesting if it was like the HTC Vive that was a little more powerful when it was plugged in.
Yeah.
So
I don't know. you're talking about the Reality
headset. Yeah, if you use the Reality headset with your Mac, then you use it as an external monitor, right? And it's not just some wireless thing for just gaming or whatever it might be.
Yeah,
don't know. There's so many unanswered questions with this. I don't even know what the focus of this thing's going to be initially, right? Is it gaming? Is games what they're going to focus on?
I don't know. I don't think so. Yeah.
That's a good question. We talked about that last time when you don't know. Is it games or is it
productivity?
What's outside of game? Yeah. Productivity,
right?
Activity.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows?
Yeah. It's very unclear what it's going to be or how it's going to work. Did I hear the rumors correct that the screen on the Reality headset, each screen is 8K?
I've heard something like that, yes. Super, super sharp, yeah.
Which is just kind of blows your mind to even think about how high a resolution that is and what it would take to drive that.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Initially, I think they talked about your phone being connected to it. But I don't know.
I wonder where it will be in the slotting of the event.
The slotting of the what?
The event. Will it be first, last, somewhere in the middle?
Ooh. Oh, will it be a one more thing? Maybe they go through all the software updates. Yeah. Here's the new laptops. Everything's great. No, by the way, and they'll laugh because everybody knows you're going to do it.
Yeah, I think so.
Here's one more thing.
I think you're right, Chris. It's going to be at the very end, and you're going to have to sit through the whole thing.
Yes.
Yeah. That's right. That's right.
We'll have to see. One interesting note, I talked about all the new computers. Mm-hmm. Apple needs to get these going quick because one thing we didn't mention last episode, this Apple had a 40% drop in Mac shipments last quarter.
Yeah, right.
The steepest in 22 years.
Hmm.
I think mainly because they didn't release anything new in the holiday quarter.
Mm-hmm.
But they want to write that statistic. They're going to have to come out with some more equipment. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I think everything's kind of been pushed because of this headset, kind of pushed off until a little bit later. So we'll have to see. But they've got a lot of interesting things happening that will also, I think, set the stage for hardware to come. Mm-hmm. Right. So, the Watch OS 10 update could be setting you up for the new watches coming next year, right? And then iPad OS 17 could lay the groundwork for the new OLED displays for iPad Pro that'll be next year. And then the other thing they mentioned was Apple is probably working to overhaul the software to open up the iPhone to sideloading of apps outside of the official store for European regulations next year. So they got a lot of groundwork to lay for this, these things coming up.
Right.
So there's a lot going on at Apple right now.
You know, I mean, imagine a year from now when it's out, do you see people walking around with this thing on their head? Is it like, or you do it in the privacy of your own home, kind of thing? Or you're like, I'm not going to be caught dead wearing this thing outside.
I think it depends on how it looks, right?
Exactly. But
it's mixed reality, so you technically can wear it and still see what's going in front of you, you know? So
I don't know. Or is it going to be like the iPad where everybody would criticize you if you held up the iPad and used the camera?
And you see it all the time.
Yeah.
Will it have a camera? Because if it has a camera, I guarantee you there will be parents taking pictures with it.
Well, there it has to have a camera, right?
Right. Yeah, for photos, for specifically.
I see what you mean.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the same thing with Google Glass, right?
Right. It just got weird.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, and they came up with a name for those people.
They did.
So
Google Geeks. What was the name?
Glass Holes.
That's creative.
Yeah. That was the people who would show up with those, and they knew there was a camera.
Right.
And it just, people freaked out when they saw them.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
Well, people are people, and they do everything. So to answer your question, yes, Vincent, there'll be people walking around with them. It's not going to be like 1,000 people walking down the street, but you'll see a couple.
Maybe one driving with it on. I'm sure that'll happen.
Well, there you go. Maybe
with their COVID-19 mask still. I mean, you can do both. I think that the demos, it's going to be interesting how they'll demo it. And I guess this is one thing that not being live is probably good, you know, because they can tone the demo to exactly what they want and when they want it versus being live. You never know what kind of weird things could happen.
Right. And Apple is pretty much setting this up as the next big thing beyond to replace the iPhone, right?
It will be weird.
I mean, that's, and they say it's going to have a slow start, but that eventually it would replace the iPhone.
It'd have to be a lot less clunky to wear if it is going to replace it. like actual glasses, you know?
Right. Yeah.
I'm never going to say never. Never say never. You just don't know. In 20 years, it could be embedded in your eye.
The contact lens. Yeah.
And would they have designer versions of it, right?
The Hermes version.
Yes. I mean, do you want your Ray-Ban version or your whatever version?
Right.
Maybe they work with, they have partners with that down the road.
True.
Could make it a fashion thing as well. Oh. Then it doesn't look so bad and become the whole glass hole thing from Google Glass, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Because you wouldn't know
if
someone's wearing them or not, right?
Yeah. Exercising is going to be different. I'll say that. You put that on and you can be virtual yoga classes or just go running with people or biking.
that's true.
That's the other thing I've heard is that Apple is very busy right now creating their own apps for this to show proof of concept, right? Yeah. To show what you can do with it. To set the bar as for developers as to this is what we think you can do, and this is the level and quality we think you should be doing with apps for this platform, right?
Yeah.
They did it with the iPad. They did it with other things when they came out with them. So, yeah, they're definitely, I think, working on fitness for this.
Yeah. I'll also say one thing. I'm pretty sure Federici is not going to demo this thing because he's going to mess up his hair. So,
unless that's one of the features, is it doesn't mess up your hair, right? Oh, I could definitely see him doing that. So he'd be looking at himself in the mirror with those on, right?
Exactly.
Yeah,
that's right. That's right.
Let's see what else is going on. So anyway, looking forward to that. Pretty excited. Unfortunately for me, I'm going to be on the road when this thing's announced. So I'm not going to be able to watch it live probably, but I'll watch it that
evening. Yeah, I think I already put it into my calendar to watch it live, and I think I'm going to extend it. I'm going to extend it to 120 minutes. I think I have 90 minutes right now. It just sounds like it's going to be 2 hours.
I think it might. I think it might be a long one. And I know they're hyping the daylights out of this thing, so I hope we're all not disappointed. We'll have to see. Speaking of a little disappointment, we talked a lot about the possibility of the volume buttons on the new iPhone being replaced with a solid state. Looks like that's probably not going to happen now.
Yeah, I saw that.
that might be scrapped due to, design?
Design problems, manufacturing problems, I think it was.
Yeah, I think it's too complex of a design to get done that quickly, because it would require 3 new haptic engines inside the phone. So we may not get that, but we still may get the action button kind of thing. So we'll have to we'll have to see what that will be. But that's something that maybe Apple was planning, and they heard all the rumors, people talking about it, and wanted to put the brakes on it, kind of manage expectations. They're probably not going to happen for this version. And this next story, I don't want to get started on this. I'm going to go on a rant here.
Oh no.
HBO is changing its name. Yeah.
Yes.
From HBO Max to just Max next month in May. Why? I know that the whole Discovery Plus merger with them and it is such a convoluted thing. This is a company that went from HBO 2, had the name HBO Plus, then reverted back. Then it was HBO Go, which was then, I think, coexisted with HBO Now. You had this whole mess of stuff, depending on if you had a cable subscription or not. HBO Max kind of settled it. Okay, everything's just called Max. Great. But no, we're going to get rid of the word, the most important part of that brand, which is their name, HBO. Those three letters mean quality programming. We're going to throw that away and just call it Max. And don't get confused with Cinemax or the iPhone Pro Max or the, any other sort of Max. I mean, it's just such a generic name that they're going to be
it's
known.
It's terrible.
By. It's terrible.
It's new Coke. I'm telling you right now, and they're gonna change it. That is the worst. I read that. I had to read that paragraph two or three times, Tom. Two or three times, Tom, to really think they were doing that. I was like, are they doing this just to get a lot of attention? Because it's a terrible name.
You guys
were in advertising, right?
Yeah.
So
it's horrible. Yeah. I would so not recommend this.
Yeah.
To the company, I'd say do anything but that. Call it HBO anything. Keep the HBO.
It's like dropping NFL. That's how HBO was so well known. It was the first cable station. We were all young kids. Well, except for a lot of listeners. The three of us, well, you and me, Tom, were young kids when HBO came out. It's been here forever. It's just odd. But there's smarter people that made decisions. Maybe it works. I don't know.
Yeah, and they're changing the purple to a blue. Like everybody else.
Everyone else. And the HBO Max logo is actually nice.
Well, because it comes from the legacy of HBO. You said, they've been around forever. I don't understand the concept here. And did they just give up and decide that this was what it's going to be?
Yeah. I mean, this definitely came out of a focus group.
I don't think it did. I think that's the problem.
Depends on the focus group.
I think any focus group would have said no to this.
Well, plus, another thing, when I was done reading, I immediately thought of, can they actually change it to Max? Because MAX is used everywhere.
Right.
We think someone will say, you can't use the word Max only, Right. So, and then you got, all right, some people's old uncles are named Max, right? So,
don't tell me they're going to have a mascot.
Yeah, they have an old guy with a big mustache.
Yeah,
Max.
Gosh.
So anyway, enough. I was like, okay, move on because I couldn't believe I was reading that story.
Yeah, I mean, they're killing the brand. But, you know, have you noticed, though? At least I have noticed, and I have every streaming service there is. I admit it. I subscribe to all of them. And I'm less and less on HBO now. They just don't, short of certain shows that I watch, when I just want to find something to watch, I can't stand what they're presenting to me. It doesn't feel like HBO anymore. You know, I don't know what they're doing, but it's...
Yeah.
They're ruining the brand is what they're doing.
We have them all too, and I've been keeping track of which ones we watch and don't, because I'm at the point I'll probably punt one or two of them.
Yeah.
You know, but then on HBO, you might get one show you really like Game of Thrones, where you got to have it, right? But it might be, you might be able to get it somewhere else eventually. So it's all about patience and waiting if you want
to
minimize your streaming services.
Right. You know, Apple TV Plus, that approach to having fewer shows but of a higher quality is known as the HBO strategy, right? That's what they modeled it after. In fact, they hired someone from HBO to run some of this stuff. And it's so ridiculous that HBO is getting rid of that name and becoming more like Netflix, you know. That's
right. Yep.
Oh yeah.
Anyway,
was it this week, Netflix, speaking of, shipped their last disc, they shut it down. No more discs. Yes,
they did.
Oh, no kidding. I didn't even know they're still doing that.
I didn't either. I didn't think. I thought that was gone a long time ago.
It's gone. No more mail.
Wow. Those were the days, huh? You could get anything through the mail.
It'd sit there, and I'm like, dang, we need to watch this thing and ship it back.
Exactly. It's got to go back tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. That's, man. I remember... speaking of like older technologies like that, for a while they actually played with this idea. Certain media companies, I guess, when they would release a movie, of temporary DVDs.
Oh yeah, that's right.
To where, if you watched it, but the disc would deteriorate over time, so you didn't have to send it back.
It turned into bubble gum. You chew it.
It's like a rental that disappears. Yeah, it just becomes blank over time.
Yeah.
I had a couple of those, which were interesting. It's funny how the technology just keeps changing and changing, right?
But
I can't believe they were still doing it. Isn't there still a Blockbuster somewhere in the world? Somewhere. One last one?
I think it closed. It was in Washington. I think that Netflix had that the last Blockbuster show. I think it was Netflix. And I think it was up in Washington somewhere.
Did it close?
Well, I watched that show 2 or 3 years ago. Oh, you know, so and I think when the show was over, they had like an update. They added in and said that Blockbuster did grant them the license again, but I'm not sure how long it was for.
Oh, okay, right.
So they may be open, but they may not. But it was one store was left.
Yep. And that's just for nostalgia more than anything, I'm sure.
It was privately owned. It was a franchise, and they like the couple that owned it just licensed the name and the brand
because
they wanted to.
Right. That makes sense.
So,
okay, and finally here, last story, I promise. Last episode, we talked about the original iPhone sealed in a box with a Lucky You sticker on it that was going up for auction. And previous auctions had gone for like $65,000 or whatever for a sealed iPhone. But some of these were fakes. I'm not saying the ones that sold for 65 were, but some people have bought phones still sealed, open them up and realize that somebody just repackaged them, right? That they weren't original. But this one had X-rays. Remember we talked about seeing the different things in the box and all that.
Yes.
I was kind of blown away when I realized who actually won the auction. It was Marques Brownlee from YouTube. The YouTube, he reviews a lot of tech stuff. And this was an online auction. It had online buyers live as well as people live during the auction. And he put in, I think, the minimum bid, and he got it. And I think it was...
He got the buy now price, right?
He kind of did. Yeah. And it was... let me see if I can get a screenshot of this here. It was $32,000 was the minimum bid. And he won it. But there's a buyer's premium cost and a sales tax. His total was almost $43,000 for this. So what does he do? He does videos of unboxing, and that's what he did with this thing. He opened it up to be able to do it. And when he opened it, I have to say, this is an original one. Mm-hmm. You can tell that the shrink wrap on it, when he opened it, was yellow and old. You could tell that wasn't redone.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and the
way the thing peeled off the phone itself, all of that... you could definitely tell this was an actual real one. And I'll put a link in the show notes so you can watch this video. It's very fascinating.
It was neat.
Yeah. Even to those of us who bought the original phone and did this on our own back in 2007, it was still kind of cool to see it opened up. And you're right, as I had totally forgotten that there was a little charging dock in there as well for the phone. He could not get it to completely boot, though. Mm-hmm.
Right, which
was interesting because you need that version of iTunes that I guess you can't really get unless you had an old computer that had never been updated or something. You could never get it to completely boot.
Right.
So I don't know.
He had to replace the power brick too, didn't he?
Yeah, he said the power brick didn't do it. And of course the battery was dead on it, you know, after 15 years, whatever. Very, very interesting to see him do this. I don't know what it's worth now.
Nothing.
He paid $43,000. Well, an original iPhone goes for mint condition, right? Not sealed in a box, but it's still got to be worth something, but not $43,000.
Yeah, right. Yeah. A fraction of that, you know, but someone would buy it as the nostalgia and
go to the museum.
And the Apple Podcast Museum.
There you go.
Apple Watch Podcast Museum, which you're going to do, Tom, and you're going to do it someday soon, and you're going to take video, and we're going to walk through it on a show.
Okay. Sounds good. In fact, I found a couple of things the other day. Cleaning out some stuff in the closet and found some old Apple.
See?
Stuff. It's kind of sad how much money I've spent on Apple stuff.
It served you well, hopefully.
Yes, it has. Anyway,
it's like a third child. You know, Apple's your third child.
As of last night, I think Marquise Brown only got 2 million views on that. And so if he's making, the amount that YouTube pays out is probably between $2,000 and $20,000 for 2 million views. So hopefully, it's make some of that back.
Right, and he's also selling one of his wallets. He was pushing that in the thing. So between the two, he's gotten some of it back, I guess.
Yeah. He gets to write it off as a business expense also. So I think
that's... Oh, that's true.
You know, you'll get a nice tax hit for that, and then he gets the revenue on the backside. Mm-hmm. It's a win-win for everyone.
I think if you watch the video, he seemed like he was actually kind of shocked that he won. I don't know that he planned on winning. I thought he put in a minimum bid and someone would bid him higher, right? And I don't know how far he was willing to go, but I think he was shocked that he got it so quickly. Mm-hmm. And it came in this giant crate that they shipped it in. It was pretty funny to ship it in something that big. Anyway.
Yeah, right.
Well,
yeah.
Watch the video. I'll put a link. It's pretty fun.
It's nice. To watch. It's nice, yeah.
Let's see. On this video, I don't see how many views... you're looking at it today.
It was last night.
Vincent, how many? Yeah. 2.2 million.
Yeah. It's climbing.
That's what I see. Dang. 2.2. That's beautiful.
Yep. Woo. Yeah, that's a little bit. All right. I think that's all for the news. We'll get to what we like here in just a second. But first, a quick reminder that the Apple Watchcast is brought to you by the wonderful support of our Patreon subscribers. Become a patron of the Apple Watchcast, and for as little as $1 a month, you can help us to keep producing this show. Check out our page at patreon.com/AppleWatchcast to subscribe and become a patron of the Apple Watchcast. Big thanks to all of our patrons. You make this show possible. All right, moving on to what we like this week, which is just Doesn't have to be directly related to the watch, whatever, something close, something Apple related, something tech, something we think is pretty cool that we just like this week. And Chris, why don't you kick it off?
Sure, Tom, thanks. Being a Earth Day and the owner of an electric vehicle and a member of the local electric vehicle club here in my town, combining all those three, I was invited to a number of Earth Day events this week. And, you know, being in sales my whole career, I love talking to people and love going and doing things. So I probably got that from my stepdad, who kind of taught me all those things with his demeanor in life. So anyway, long story short, I had three, and in fact, I'm going to one tomorrow as well. But earlier in the week, I went to my first Earth Day event, and it was at a local college, not the big college with 30,000 kids, the smaller college with maybe 3,000 or 4,000 kids. And we parked about 25 electric vehicles in the middle of campus. And I'd never done one of these before. I didn't know what to expect. And they're like, park here. I'm like, that's in the middle of campus on the grass. They're like, that's just parked there. So I soon realized why. As soon as the classes went out, every student walked through that center of campus. So it's kind of interesting. I actually met a lot of young kids that were very interested in electric vehicles. So that was the first event. The second event switched sides. It was at a bar. Where they had it's a craft beer market, and they didn't have food, so they bring in some food trucks, and we had about 15 to 18 EVs there, and different clientele. Some people were, you know, unlike young kids that are almost 100%, let's go get an EV. You're getting more of my age people, or like half hate them and half love them, right? So I tended to talk to the people that hated them. I'm like, hey, I'm going to talk to you about this, and it was interesting because. You know, I actually got a couple of people to say, yeah, you know, maybe I should go drive one. So that was a great event. It was just, you know, another way to do it. And then tomorrow it's up in the Smoky Mountains. So I'm looking forward to, you know, driving up there and spending the day up there. I think it's at the one of the entrances of the Smoky Park, the national park. There's one of the main entrances. They load up all the EVs for Earth Day. So anyway, it was just kind of fun to get out. It's the weather's been fantastic. Met ton of people, had a lot of good discussions. Didn't get in any fights about EVs, which, you know, hence can happen. But it was a great time. So that's what I like this week.
Nice, very good. So all different types of vehicles, huh?
Oh yeah, and you're starting to see more and more. You know, I think I've been in this group since I got mine almost 2 years ago, and it was me and a bunch of Teslas. But now you show up, and you're getting all the different variations of vehicles. You know, the Rivian is big out there.
Oh,
I think there was three or four Rivians.
Wow.
Oh yeah, at this event last week, or earlier in the week, I should say. You're starting to see the Kias and the Hyundais, there's just as many Teslas out there, but they're, you know, smaller percentage of the types of cars.
Mm, nice.
Yeah.
Very cool. Well, I know you got to go, Chris, so.
Yeah. Thank you for letting me go first.
Yeah. Thanks for being here today. Appreciate it.
You bet.
As always, we'll let you go. I know you got an appointment to get to, so.
Yeah. Thanks. So you guys, I know you're close to finishing out the show, but we'll talk in a couple of weeks.
All right. Take care.
All right. Mm-hmm.
All right, Vincent, what you got this week? What do you like?
Yeah, this is something I've been carrying around for a while. It's the Moft, M-O-F-T, MagSafe wallet. So Apple's got one. It costs around like $59, but it's just kind of like a little wallet that you can put about three or four cards in and then snap it to the back of your phone. But the Moft one is unique in that the fact that it has like this shape in the back, it's like an hourglass shape thing that you can fold down. And it becomes a stand, and then you can use and stand your phone up horizontally or in portrait mode. And it's just a very unique minimalist design. They come in 18 different colors. They can also fit about three credit cards in the back when you fold it down. It's made out of vegan leather and fiberglass, and I've looked at, you know, knockoffs on Amazon. I've actually purchased one, and the quality isn't all that great. So I sent those knockoffs back, but these go for about $29. They start there. They fit on the iPhone 12 to 14, so the ones with the MagSafe, obviously. And also, if you happen to have like a magnetic holder in your car already, you don't have to swap it out. You can just kind of, you know, snap the muff right onto that magnet, and it'll stay. However, just a word of warning: if you use that little pocket where you put your credit cards and you put a parking ticket in there, it will demagnetize your parking ticket.
but it won't demagnetize the credit cards.
Yeah, I don't know how that works. Maybe the magnet on the parking tickets. I found out the hard way. Yeah. So,
tip. Yeah. Probably don't put your hotel key in there either.
Don't put your hotel key in there. That's a good point. Yeah. That will demagnetize.
Yes.
Between the two, it will take it out. So Muff has the wallet version. They have a version with the battery pack and the stand as well. They have versions for iPads, and they make laptop stands, and all of them are this unique origami thing where you fold it down flat. It's a folio, they call it. When you carry it around, if you need a stand, you fold it out. The only thing that it was missing was that it doesn't have AirTags, you know, capability. So I have missed, you know, it comes off your phone or whatever it is. Right. I have frantically searched my house for my wallet when it was not on the back of my phone. Just coincidentally, I came across a Kickstarter project that has a very, very similar type of design, but it kind of folds out like an A-frame as a stand, but it has a built-in AirTag piece of hardware. And it's not an actual AirTag, you know, like you typically would just put an Apple AirTag in there. So this is the first one I've seen that uses the AirTag network to track the thing. It's called Geo Wallet, and it's roughly the same price right now while it's on Kickstarter for about $30. You can get something like that as well, and it's also made out of vegan leather. It's really cool to have these kind of like MagSafe things. Like I said, I'm trying to keep it minimalist when you're carrying the phone around or wallet around. You don't have to when you have to have a card. It's very convenient to kind of snap on the back of your phone.
Oh, I see this Geo Wallet. I just looked it up on Kickstarter.
Yeah, it's actually pretty neat.
Oh, it's much bigger than the other one.
Yeah, it's a little thicker. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it's a whole different. But with full Find My.
Find My. Okay, that's
so,
the Find.
So you don't put an AirTag in this.
Right.
It just it is an AirTag.
It is an AirTag. It's basically an AirTag wallet. Yeah, which is kind of cool. And yeah, other thing I wanted to mention with the Moft is that they have a full-size desk mat also. That will have angle your iPad or MacBook or whatever it is, and then it basically comes with a ton of other magnetic things, attachments you can put to the pad, including an Apple Watch holder to this pad, and so you can have all of your stuff organized right in front of you. And that goes for about $158, and so it's a little pricey.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. That's a little higher than I'm on the Moff site, and it says $39.99 for the phone stand wallet compatible one here.
Okay.
In the different colors. Did you get it off of Amazon or just from
Moff? I got mine and a couple of others off of Amazon during Black Friday. So that there is quite a sale going on. But you can get the one that's $39 comes with the little magnet strips, I think. And then the one that's without them is like $29.
Okay. Yeah. Good deal. Cool. Now, we didn't get together and coordinate this, but my pick is kind of similar for this week, what I like this week. Mm-hmm. And mine, it involves magnets and the iPad and all that kind of stuff. So it's from a company called Rolling Square. And I previously reviewed one of their products from a Kickstarter campaign called Edge, and it was a device that you attach to your laptop screen on the outside of the screen, and it pivots up and allows you to magnetically attach your phone to the side of your laptop screen, right? Including a way to MagSafe charge it when it's there as well, plug it into the computer very cool. And it has battery operated lights you can put on there as well for video calls. Very neat solution. I love the whole concept of it. Well, they got me with this recent update and it's called Edge Pro, and it's the same concept, but a much bigger connector. Okay. These are much bigger with a very sturdy hinge in the middle. So there's a little difference there. So with two of these on one side, I can attach my iPad Pro to the side of my laptop screen and use it as a second screen, or just share the mouse between the two devices. Mm-hmm. And it just magnetically clicks on there. You take the iPad off, you fold back the hinge on the thing, and your laptop is back the way it was. So it's very travel friendly, I should say. So very, very handy when you're on the road. And you get almost double the screen on your laptop just by magnetically attaching it here. So it works great. I wasn't sure, because I had the iPad Pro, the original iPad Pro. It's kind of heavy. Mm-hmm. Wasn't sure if that would really hold it well, and it holds it great. I was very surprised. But there's almost no limit to how you can configure this thing. Mm-hmm. You can attach a phone on one side and an iPad on the other side of your laptop screen. You can put a light on the top. There's so many different ways you can configure this modular concept. Now, the cost on Kickstarter for a single one, it's 29 euros, which is $32 US. Now, I got the double kit because I'm doing the iPad. You need two of them to hold it. Mm. But they show so many uses for this as a charging station, adding a light to your phone, lots of great ideas. The company is based, I think, in Switzerland. Mm. This is my second Kickstarter with them, and they're great. They keep you up to date with, you know, info, let you know what's going on. They deliver on time when they said they would both times. So I love their stuff. I'll put a link in the show notes for this on Kickstarter if you're interested in this device. It's called Edge Pro. So yeah.
It can also be used standalone, huh? So that like a little stand as well with the phone on. That's kind of cool, like a mount.
Huh. Oh yeah, So it's kind of similar to what you had, but a little bit different.
Very cool.
But I never thought about all the configurations. Mm-hmm. It's really cool. Jumps between them all.
Have you used the continuity camera feature on your Mac with your phone?
I don't have anything to mount the phone up there.
Well, this would work with that, wouldn't it?
I guess this would.
Yeah, because it uses the back camera, doesn't it? Maybe you could somehow rig it. Who knows?
I don't know. Maybe use two of them. I don't know how that would work. But
the continuity camera feature, we accidentally somehow turned it on at work.
I've turned it on. And I hold the phone up there.
It's really cool. The camera is amazing. You look great on Zoom.
with that thing turned on. I imagine, especially if you're showing something on the desktop, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. To someone. Pretty cool.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else before we set our watch down to charge and hear that satisfying ding sound?
Ding.
I love that. Yep. I don't know why. It's just cool.
Yep. It's also when your power goes out in the middle of the night and that thing dings, you know, something happened. Yeah.
Did you get that big electrical storm that came through here?
We did.
Oh my gosh.
Woke me up. The dog ran upstairs.
Yeah. It woke me up, and even with my eyes closed, I could see the lightning, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And I would count to see mm-hmm. how far away the storm was, right?
Right.
The old trick of counting.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, 4 miles, 5 miles, 3 miles. There was one where there was a flash and a boom at the exact same time, which mm-hmm. means it was right over the house or nearby.
Yeah.
And there was this electronic, I don't want to call it a scream or a squeal, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. chirp, something very loud, very brief when it happened, but we didn't lose power.
Mm.
So I don't know what that was. But something didn't like it. I don't know if it was maybe it was a power strip or something. But
right.
Oh, I hate those things. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But real quick, a tip here with that. I talk about that satisfying ding mm-hmm. when you put it down. That's also how you know you've it's actually charging.
That's right.
That it's not quite off a little bit, and you wake up to a dead watch or whatever, or right. come back to it and it's not charged. So make sure you leave that sound on. You want to hear that. All right. Well, that is all the time we have for this episode. Thank you, Vincent and Chris, as always, for being here. I really do appreciate it. Thank you to everyone out there for listening. Again, if you'd like to support our show, check out our Patreon page at patreon.com/AppleWatchcast. It's a great way to help us to continue to produce the show. So check it out at patreon.com/AppleWatchcast. Links to stuff we talk about can be found on our website at applewatchcast.com. You can follow us in Apple Podcasts or any other podcast service you prefer. If you have a question about the Apple Watch or about our show, send us an email at comments@applewatchcast.com. As always, thanks for listening. Stay safe. And until our next show, you're on your own time.
Remember to rate us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts.